Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Don Blado from, is it the Hope Memorial Garden? Is that the full
Harvest
name?
Harvest of Hope Memorial
Harvest
Garden.
Harvest of Hope Memorial Garden. Okay, and Don, another hat that you wear, you're a master gardener in Anchorage, right?
I am.
Yeah, very good. So we're going to talk about those two things this morning on the show, but I always like to start by asking my guests to tell us a little bit about themselves, how you got to Alaska, and how you got this taste for agriculture, this connection to agriculture. Were you born into it, or did you just fall into it at some point? How'd you get here?
Well, I got to Alaska from through the Air Force.
Okay.
In 1969, they sent me up here the first time, and then they sent me to Maryland for a year and a half and sent me back.
Oh, okay.
And I decided that this was the place I should be.
Yeah.
So that's my wife and I basically spent all of our married life in Alaska.
Okay.
Except for the time in Maryland. So we got out of the Air Force and stayed here.
Okay. And did you just did you stay in the Air Force for a long time, or was that just short-lived and then you decided to?
I was in 7.5 years.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. Yeah. And you settled in the Eagle River Anchorage area? Or?
Yeah, in the Anchorage area. We lived in right after I got out of the Air Force, we moved to the Sand Lake area.
Okay.
But before that, we lived in Mountain View.
Okay. And what about gardening? Is that something that you always grew up doing? Or
my parents had a garden when I was a kid, and I hated it with a passion.
You don't hear that very often.
I worked on...
It must have been a big garden.
It was a pretty good-sized garden.
Okay.
It was about the same size as the one I have now.
Okay.
And during the summers when I was in middle school and high school, I went up to northern Wisconsin and worked on my uncle's farms with them.
Oh, okay.
And I decided I was never going to be a farmer because it was just too damn hard work.
Yeah, I agree.
And it certainly is hard work.
Yeah.
But... 4 years ago, I went to a meeting of Lutheran churches in Alaska.
Okay.
And it was about hunger security.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Brown from the CES office here in Palmer.
Yep, Cooperative Extension.
Yep, made a presentation on composting.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, this is what you need to do.
Okay.
You need to build a garden behind your church.
Okay.
And we had a lot of land at our church and been kicking around for 30 years what to do with the property back there.
Okay.
And so I went to the church council and I said, I want to build a garden behind the church.
Yeah.
And build was what we did because it was all forested.
Oh, okay.
So we had to cut down the trees, remove the roots and the stumps.
Wow.
And so we started... Probably back when what they did in the
early days.
Early days.
Yeah, clearing
except
land.
We did it with chainsaws and a backhoe.
Yeah, you didn't bring in the draft horse.
No draft horses and no buck saws.
Okay. All right. So not a lifelong gardener, not something that you always envisioned you'd be doing later in life, just something that you were called to do. And we can thank Steve Brown a little bit for that.
We can thank Steve Brown for that.
Okay, very good. So let's jump into that a little bit more. What church and where is this Harvest of Hope Memorial Garden that
you
guys developed? It's
the Lutheran Church of Hope in Anchorage, and it's on 1847 West Northern Lights Boulevard.
Okay.
It's just a little bit west of Minnesota and Northern Lights.
Okay.
Next to the Dempsey Ice Arena.
Yep. Yep. And how big is the garden?
The garden is 9,000 plus square feet.
Okay.
Plus we have a small apple orchard.
Oh, wow.
That we planted, it'll be a year and a half ago now.
Okay.
Behind the church on the north edge of the garden as well.
Yeah. So 9,000 square feet, that's not small.
That's pretty good size.
Yeah. Wow. So there, and I was checking out your website this morning because you guys have a nice blog spot going. Well, I'll ask you about the information on that earlier, but you are growing quite a bit of product in that 9,000 square feet.
I'm growing quite a bit of product.
Yeah.
And the first year we started, we had 125, or we had, our harvest was 15 pounds.
Okay.
We started in the middle of July.
All right.
And we harvested 15 pounds the first year.
Okay.
And the next year with 4,800 square feet, we had 2,400 pounds
of harvest. That's quite a jump right there.
Yeah, it was. And then the following year we expanded, and I thought almost double the size. We should have almost double the harvest. But it turned out we only had 2,800 pounds that year.
Okay.
It was a crummy summer.
Yeah.
Really crummy summer. And last year my goal was 4,000 pounds, and we hit 3,600 plus.
Oh, wow. Very good.
And next year 4,000
is the goal again?
In the past.
Oh, okay.
So
you were called to start this garden at the church because of a food security issue, or
right.
That was your goal in mind. It wasn't necessarily to grow food for families within the church or to distribute amongst the church, but it was at a wider level than that?
Yeah.
Okay, just in the community itself?
The produce goes to Lutheran Social Services Food Pantry.
Okay.
Which is on 33rd and Spinard in Anchorage.
Okay.
And some of it goes to the Tudor Road Rescue Mission.
Okay.
And some of it goes to Beans Cafe.
All right. Very good.
So the stuff that they can't use at the food pantry for any reason, I push it out to other places.
Yeah. And what's your title? Are you the head gardener? Are you in charge of everything?
I guess you'd say I'm the manager of the garden.
Okay.
Well, I try to recruit volunteers and solicit money, go for grants and things like that as well.
Absolutely, because in a 9,000 square foot garden, there's a lot of inputs that are going into that.
Right.
I mean, fertilizer and tools and the seeds and all those things. Where does that all come from?
Well, the fertilizer and things like that I get usually from Mill and Feed in Anchorage. The seeds I order from seed companies. Outside, most of my seed last year came from Johnny's or Vessi's.
Yep.
And equipment is either donated or purchased locally or sometimes from Amazon.
Yep.
And donations are solicited, and I get grants. I've gotten probably $10,000 or $12,000 in grants.
Oh, very
over
good.
4 years. The first 2 years were the most expensive years to,
sure.
to do, and... last year, I got $1,500 in grants, and that pretty much sustained.
Very good.
The maintenance on the garden and planting and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if folks were interested in making a direct contribution to this effort, Harvest of Hope Memorial
Garden. Harvest of Hope Memorial Garden.
Okay, Harvest of Hope Memorial Garden. Let's tell folks where they can find more information. Do you have that blog spot web address memorized?
I do.
Oh, good job.
It's harvestofhopememorialgarden.blogspot.com.
Perfect. And I saw over on the right-hand side there was some information about how to make a contribution.
About how to make a contribution, yeah. And there's also a wish list on there. Equipment that we still need, or equipment that's an ongoing need, for that matter.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is, if you want to contribute equipment, all you have to do is purchase it and drop it off at the church, and they'll make sure that I find it.
Yeah, very good. And volunteer solicitation, is that information on there as well, if folks were interested?
I think my phone number is on the blog.
Okay.
If it isn't, you can get in touch with the church and they'll pass the information out.
They'll send them your way.
And even a half an hour.
Right.
It makes a big difference. Half an hour weeding is a half an hour weeding I don't have to do.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, a quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Don Blato of the Harvest of Hope Memorial Garden out of Anchorage. And we're just talking about how folks can contribute time, money, equipment, lots of ways to get involved. And how many would you say, do you have an idea of how many volunteer hours it takes to keep that 9,000 square foot garden going in the summer?
I'm not sure about the number of volunteer hours I've had. This past summer, I had probably 50 volunteers.
Oh, wow.
Over anywhere from that 30 minutes I mentioned to being consistently there for a number of hours every week.
Okay.
And as anybody knows that has a garden, weeding always needs to be done.
Weeding,
Keeping up with the weeds, especially in Alaska,
because
they grow just as prolifically as our vegetables do in the summertime.
Yeah, if not more, right?
If not more, yeah.
Yeah. And, when do you try and get the garden started in the spring, Don?
Usually the first plantings are done the first week in May. I plant peas and potatoes because they don't care as long as right. the ground is not frozen.
Yeah.
And you can put them in the ground.
Yeah.
They'll be growing.
That must be your master gardener training coming out right there.
Kind of.
I don't hear a lot of just backyard gardeners get in the ground that early.
Right.
Usually they're waiting a little bit longer, but our commercial producers are certainly in the ground that early. They're
certainly,
trying to.
Yeah. yeah. And every year I learn more and more about what to do and what not to do.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, the first week in May is usually the first plantings that I do.
Okay. And you said peas and potatoes.
Peas and potatoes.
What else is the garden producing?
Let's see. Last year it produced 600 plus pounds of cabbage and broccoli.
Okay.
800 pounds of turnips. Brussels sprouts, a couple of hundred pounds of Brussels sprouts.
Good.
450 carrots. Pounds of carrots.
Yeah.
300 pounds of beets.
Wow.
My summer squash didn't do very well because I had another learning experience. I planted the seeds too early,
okay.
and the seedlings were already blossoming when I put them in the ground. And
of
course, squash doesn't do very well transplanted anyways.
Yeah.
And the older it is, or the more mature it is, the worse it does. So
okay.
we started over. And I got some summer squash, but not very much.
Okay.
And then we also had Swiss chard, a little bit of chard. I don't usually plant too much of that.
Yeah.
And we had kale and collards.
Okay.
And radishes and leeks. Last year was the first time I tried leeks.
Okay. How'd that go?
And they were a smashing success.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They kind of like those colder, wetter summers too, right?
They do. They
seem
to do quite well.
Especially,
they really took off in August when it got so rainy last
year. Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing.
Don, are you growing products that you know the outlets, the food pantry, et cetera, you know that they can utilize those products more, or are you just growing what you can grow well and hoping that they can use it? What's your balance there?
Most of the crops that I grow, I know that they'll be able to use.
Okay.
And there are experiments that I do, like the leeks.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they would be able to use them or not. People seemed to be real excited when they saw leeks come in. So it's something that you don't see very often at food pantries.
Yeah.
And so I do that. I do experiments like that. It turns out that turnip greens, as many people didn't know what to do with turnip greens.
Right.
And so next year we'll have to scrounge up some
recipes. Yeah.
To pass out along with the greens.
There you go.
However, Beans Cafe and the Rescue Mission on Tudor had no problems knowing what to do with turnip greens.
Yeah, I'm sure they could use whatever you bring them. Don, do you use certain types of growing practices? Are you organic at the garden, or are you trend that way? Or?
I'm not purely organic.
Okay.
I do use chemical fertilizers
yep.
because organic tends to be expensive.
Absolutely.
And I'm on a shoestring budget, so
right.
Commercial fertilizers are much less expensive. However, I don't use pesticides,
okay.
and I don't use herbicides.
Okay.
My herbicides are our hands,
yep.
and the pesticides haven't had too much trouble with pests.
Yeah.
The lower animals,
I was
except for
say.
Slugs this year.
Okay.
This
yeah.
past year, this first year I've had a problem with the slugs, so
okay.
I'm gonna have to figure out some management.
Yeah.
For those as well.
Is the garden fenced off and, you know, like, are there moose around, or do you have moose fencing? Or?
There are moose around.
Okay.
And the garden has a 7.5-foot fence around
okay.
it. Only the top five of it has fence fabric on it.
Okay.
And people always say, well, how come you didn't do it all the way to the bottom? I says, the moose aren't going to crawl underneath. So.
And, being economical
yeah,
there again, right? Yeah.
Well, and that's the way it started out because it was.
Sure.
And since I now grow peas on the south side, on the fence on the south side and on the north side of the garden, the fence goes all the way to the bottom.
Okay, yeah.
So the peas have something to climb up on.
There you go.
But
yep.
Otherwise, unless I start having trouble with bunnies, the lower part won't be fenced.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have a regular schedule for, like, if somebody wanted to particularly be there on harvest day to help with harvest or help with delivery to your outlets, do you have a regular schedule, like, weekly of what's going on at the garden?
From depending on the weather and how successful the early plantings were,
yeah.
we begin harvesting usually the second or third week in June.
Okay.
And radishes are done then and stuff like that. And it's I usually harvest in the mornings because the food pantry is open in the afternoon and I get the produce over there. And the fresher it is, the better I like it
when
I eat it myself.
Absolutely.
So I would think other people would like it that way. It's also. So usually in the morning is when I harvest. There are exceptions, but generally and beginning in June, if somebody's interested in just helping with harvest, I can they can give me a call.
Yeah.
And I can give you my phone number if it might be helpful.
Yeah. If you'd like to say it out over the air.
Yeah, it's 907-830-5723.
Okay.
And anybody can call if they want to volunteer or want directions on how to get there. Or if they just want to come and look.
Yeah, absolutely.
By all means, let me know and I can be at the garden in the summertime.
Yeah, very good. And there might be groups of people. You know, I can think of some civic groups like some of our FFA kids or a 4-H group or maybe a group of people that would like to come to the garden and give some time.
And I talked to the Plant Material Center in Palmer last summer, and they're interested in me doing some tomatoes for them outside.
Okay. Yep.
And so I may be doing that as well this
Some variety
next spring.
Trialing for them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it'd be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so always experimenting.
Good. That's the only way to do it up here in Alaska because I think things are always changing, varieties are changing, and you've got to stay ahead of the curve by experimenting with new stuff.
Yeah.
Another quick reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Don Blado of the Harvest of Hope Memorial Garden in Anchorage. So tell me a little bit about that name, Harvest of Hope Memorial Garden. What is the meaning behind that name?
Well, the name was selected by the congregation.
Okay.
And initially, memorial funds from the church were from people who have died over the years and left memorial designations.
Yeah.
Initially, funds came from the memorial fund to start the garden.
Yeah.
And so, hence the name.
There you go.
And
makes good sense.
On the blog, there's a little box that has people who have passed away recently that are displayed on the garden, on the blog.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm thrilled that you're doing that and that you're adding to that local food community in Anchorage. What do you see as the future of the garden? Is there room for expansion? Would you like to get bigger? If you could put on your magic glasses and look at the garden 5 years from now, how does it look different?
There is room for expansion. I don't think it's going to be part of what I do.
Okay.
But the one thing that I would like to do between the orchard and the garden, there's enough room to put probably a 15x30 hoop house.
Oh, okay.
And that's something I might be interested in doing in the future. But right now there's a debris pile from the roots and the stumps that are in that spot. So that would have to be disposed of first before we could do that.
And did you want the hoop house so that you can try some different vegetables that need that additional heat or extending the season? Or what's your goal?
Extending the season is probably the best. And, of course, I become much more interested in experimenting with different things.
Absolutely.
And so the hoop house allows warmer soil and warmer air for probably 2 months longer.
Yeah.
So that extending the season allows you to grow things that you can't just grow on the ground outside.
Absolutely. Yep. Talk to me a little bit about the orchard. How many trees do you have in the ground?
Well, we started out there probably 20 years ago. One of our pastors planted two apple trees in front of the parsonage, which is also part of the church's property.
Okay.
And those two trees are mature. There's a Norland and a State Fair out there. And 2 years ago, we harvested the apples from those and took them to the food pantry.
Oh, okay.
And they were a huge success. So we bought five more apple trees and planted them, fenced it.
Yeah.
And last year, there were a few trees out there. There's two Norlands, two Zestars, and a Prairie Magic.
Okay.
And the Prairie Magic's apples are just wonderful.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're so tasty.
Oh.
I was truly amazed.
Prairie magic. We'll have to remember that one. And the tree seems to do well in Alaska. I'm sure you did your homework before you picked your varieties,
right?
Yeah,
the trees are doing fine in Alaska. And then I had two that I planted inside the garden as well that I had grafted myself
on
rootstock. And one of them didn't survive. It got pulled up by vandals. And I stuck it back in the ground, but the ground was frozen and it didn't survive. But
darn it.
The other one seems to be growing, but it'll probably be 8 or 10 years before we see any apples off from that tree, since it's only like knee high right now.
Oh, okay. Is that standard? I'm not very proficient in apples and orchards in Alaska. Do you usually have to wait that long, 8 to 10 years, for your tree to start
producing?
Well,
in Alaska, because they grow more slowly.
Yeah.
But that's pretty standard.
Okay.
Amount of time. I mean, even in through my readings, even citrus and stuff in California, Arizona, and Florida, and places like that, it takes anywhere from 5 to 8 years to produce their first.
No instant gratification.
No instant gratification.
Darn it.
The only thing you get instant gratification into gardening is lettuce and radishes.
Yeah, okay. And did you mention lettuce as one of the things that you guys are growing?
I haven't been very successful growing lettuce. So yeah. I try to...
do what you're good at.
Do what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And one of the things I didn't mention that works really well is we grow Hungarian yellow wax peppers.
Okay.
Which are chilies, basically.
Okay.
And they're very spicy. And I grow them in elevated raised beds that I have basically are mini hoop houses. They're 9 foot by 3 foot.
Okay.
And those are very successful and very tasty.
Hmm. Interesting. I've seen a lot of people have success with peppers mostly in their hoop houses. But you're just growing yours in the raised beds?
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. With a hoop over the top.
Oh, okay. A low tunnel. Okay. Very good. And mention that variety again, just in case people
Hungarian yellow wax peppers.
Okay.
Those are available the only place I've ever seen them is from Denali Seed.
Okay.
Which used to be in Alaska, and now they're in northern Michigan.
Right.
But they have a site.
Yeah.
Online.
Yep. Yep. Let's talk a little bit more. We have a couple minutes left here. The time just shoots by and all of the questions spinning around in my head. But let's talk a little bit, focus on the Master Gardener side of the equation. So when did you go through that program?
I went through that program the summer when I asked the council, church council, to put a garden in.
Maybe you ought to know what you're doing first.
No, they didn't say that. They said, we think you're crazy, but go ahead. And I took the Master Gardener class. It was the year I retired from the Anchorage School District.
Okay.
And the summer, I took it online through UAF.
Mm-hmm.
And between a trip to Egypt and a trip to Turkmenistan.
Wow.
So it was an interesting course, and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
But the more gardening I did, the more I found out that I needed to know.
Sure. That hands-on experience can't be beat,
I joined a group, the group Master Gardeners at Anchorage and have learned a lot from presentations from there. And
absolutely.
And there's also a Master Gardener group in the valley out here.
Absolutely, yep.
And one in the Tanana Valley and one in Fairbanks as well. So.
Yeah. If and this is an unfair question since it's not your program, but if folks were interested in learning more about becoming a master gardener themselves, do you know where to point them?
The CES's website.
Yeah.
You can also go to the Alaska Master Gardeners website if you just key in and a search engine, Alaska Master Gardeners. It'll either come up with the CES office or one of the local Master Gardener chapters.
Yeah.
And there'll be links there on how to become a master gardener.
Take the course.
In our area, the Master Gardener classes are going to alternate between Anchorage and the Matsu Valley.
Okay.
And next year, the Master Gardener class will be in the Valley.
Oh, okay.
Because they just completed one in Anchorage.
Okay.
In December, the first part of December.
What kind of time commitment is that to become a Master Gardener?
Well, you have to take the class, which is, I think it's 45 hours long, the class is. And meets once a week for 2.5 hours, something like that, for however many weeks are necessary. And then there's 40 hours of volunteer work required to obtain your Master Gardener certificate.
Yeah. And would you recommend that program?
I certainly would, yeah. Especially for people that are new to Alaska and have no knowledge, or like me, who were adverse to gardening and took it up because they were called to do that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Very good. It was very helpful.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, yeah, I hear about and have guests on the show all the time who are master gardeners or former master gardeners, and they always seem to really be up to speed on what's going on, but also that willingness and desire to always learn more and be trying new things.
Yeah, and there are advanced master gardener classes offered in Anchorage, which zero in on specific topics like,
sure.
you know, insect pests, entomology.
Or the grafting that you mentioned.
Or grafting, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's usually done by the pioneer fruit growers.
Right.
In Anchorage.
Yep.
But, yeah, grafting classes and things like that are available. And the Master Gardener website, Alaska Master Gardener Anchorage website, has schedule of classes and things monthly.
Okay.
Both in Anchorage and in the valley. And
yeah.
Sometimes on the peninsula, Kenai Peninsula as well.
Right. Because those meetings, have regularly scheduled guests and presentations about
yes.
new topics. And
yes.
they're
very interesting.
Yeah. And the networking amongst gardeners is probably one of the biggest.
It's one of the best
benefits.
Ways to learn.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Don't do what your neighbor did and messed up on,
yeah.
right?
And take advantage of the garden tours in the summertime.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And Valley Farm Tours is really a cool thing to do, too, if you're interested in looking at bigger
yeah.
farms. I know Margaret would be real happy to have additional people on her
Absolutely.
Tours. I've been on two.
Oh, good.
And they're always fascinating.
They are, aren't
yeah.
they?
And
yeah.
last year in the fall, I was on one of their tours in Anchorage.
Oh, okay.
My garden was on
oh,
one of
very
their
good.
Tours in Anchorage. So.
Very good. Well, quickly, before we wrap up here, the Alaska Master Gardener Conference is coming up in 2019, right?
April 6th.
April 6th.
Save the date.
Save the date. Mark your calendar. All right. Well, Don, it's been a pleasure having you on the show this morning to learn more about the Harvest of Hope Memorial Garden and Master Gardeners in Anchorage. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very good.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.